Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 2. In verse 10, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before prepared that we should walk in them. Now, this isn't a be good, do good kind of a good work. This is the call of God that we should be able to enter into it. So we are His workmanship, so that we can enter into the call and the plan and the purpose of God. Now, we need to remember that we are God's workmanship. Sometimes people think that they are their own workmanship. You don't make yourself, and you can't change yourself. No one on earth has the ability to change themselves. But when we draw near to God, God has the ability to develop things in us, to develop us, to transform us any way He wants, any way we need. Sometimes people say to themselves, this is what I'm like, and what I'm like isn't always great. What I'm like sometimes really is not even remotely good. What I'm like sometimes is weak. Sometimes I do okay, but sometimes I don't do well. Sometimes I sin. Sometimes I fail. Sometimes I make mistakes. Sometimes I just don't feel like this relationship with God. Sometimes I don't feel like being a Christian. I'd rather do something else sometimes. Sometimes I don't feel like doing the right things, but yet in my heart I desire God, and in my heart, when it really comes down to Him, I don't want to be without Him. I just want to do stuff, or be something, or go a different direction, and then when that happens, our heart condemns us. After we get rid of the foolish thoughts, our heart condemns us. You never have to be condemned in this way. When we get condemned, we say to ourselves, maybe I'm not so worthy to come to God, or maybe I'm not so worthy to receive the love of God, or maybe I'm not so worthy to be used by God, because this is really what I am, and I'm not like that other person there. That person has a life with God. Me? Sometimes, sometimes no. And we think that we can't receive love from God. That's not actually true. The reason why you can always receive the love of God, the reason why you can always come to Him, the reason why you'll always be accepted by Him, is right here. We are His workmanship. We are what He is building, what He is making. Can you imagine somebody is in the kitchen, a chef, they're preparing a beautiful steak and whatever else, and it's only half done, and they say, well, it's only half done. I must not be doing a very good job. Look, it's only half done. Or they don't say, well, that steak doesn't have any value because it's only half finished. That would be ridiculous. That would be silly. Yet sometimes we do that to ourselves. I'm only partly done. I still have a lot of growing to do. I'm not there yet. I'm not the way that one is. I'm not what I should be, is what we say to ourselves. And God says, that's silly. You are My workmanship. You're not your workmanship. You are God's workmanship. God is the one who builds you. God is the one who directs you. God is the one who develops you. You are God's workmanship, so you can receive love from God at all times. And if you can receive love from God, then you can also have love toward yourself. As Christians, we don't become self-centered. Self-centeredness is a very difficult and dangerous downward path. So we don't become self-centered, but we are to have a love for ourselves as well as a love for other people. Because we are God's workmanship. God loves us enough to constantly be working on us. God loves us enough to give us that attention. God loves us enough to pay attention to the details of our lives so that every detail is used to build us into who He is, into all the fullness of who we can be and who we are in Him. You are God's workmanship. He's the one making you. You don't have to try to make yourself. He will change people's hearts as they draw near to Him. They don't have to change themselves. Nobody can change themselves. What we do is we make decisions. We make choices. But God's the one who changes hearts. In 1 Corinthians 15:9, Paul had this problem. He used to be, before he was saved, somebody who would persecute the Christian church. He threw a lot of Christians in jail, killed some. And he became an apostle. And this was very difficult for him. The knowledge that this had taken place, that he was involved in that, was a tremendous burden to him. For a while. Not forever. He grew out of that. But he said in 1 Corinthians 59, I'm the least of the apostles. Every other apostle, there were 12 of them, the other 11, they're much more than I am. Because I'm not sufficient to be called an apostle because I persecuted the assembly of God. He was in that problem where he was not focusing at that moment, he did in Ephesians, but he didn't in Corinthians, on the fact that he is God's workmanship. He didn't focus on the reality of it at that moment, that all things have passed away. All things have been removed by the blood of Christ from time that were not faith. So when he said, I'm the least of the apostles, I persecuted the church, he's not actually living in reality there. He is living in his emotions, and albeit they were emotions that were toward God in something of a positive manner, but they were not positive emotions because they didn't come from God. They didn't come from the mind or the thoughts or the word of God. They came from regret. Regret is not something very useful once somebody has gotten rid of a certain sin. In that case, regret becomes its own problem. But then in verse 10, he said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And that's exactly right. I may have these issues, I may have been like this, or maybe I still am like this, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace which was toward me has not been in vain. It was not without fruit. The grace that God gives, it doesn't matter what your condition is at this moment, God will give you grace, and that grace is going to produce things in your life. Now, just so we remember what grace is, so we don't think of this in vague, uncertain terms. Grace is three things. It's an undeserved, therefore unmerited gift. That's in Ephesians 2:8. The part about grace that's particularly sweet is that it's the continuous, eternal, in time, continuing into heaven, manifestation, reflection, expression of God's kindness toward you. God's going to be kind toward you on a good day and on a bad day. It doesn't change with God because you're His workmanship. God's going to love you on a good day and on a bad day. He loves you just as much on your bad days as He does on your good days because you're His workmanship. It doesn't change with God. And then there's the government of God aspect of grace. where the Holy Spirit inside of you is doing things, where God is ordaining your steps. He's making you take certain paths to make certain decisions. He's making you go into certain directions, and you don't even know it. Because it's the Holy Spirit that's living inside of you that's doing it. It's not you that is doing it. And the places and the things that He leads you into develop you, because you are His workmanship. Now, sometimes God uses a chisel or sandpaper, and that seems difficult to us. A hammer is difficult. But no sculptor makes a beautiful sculpture without a hammer and a chisel and sandpaper. Yet the sculpture that comes out of it is magnificent. We're like that with God. The hammer and the chisel and the sandpaper, they're not going to last forever. They're actually the smaller part of the deal. The bigger part is the edification. The bigger part is Him loving you, drawing you, taking care of you, providing for you, everything that you need. Him simply being kind to you. But you're His workmanship, so He's developing you. But because you're being developed, you never have to think to yourself, I'm not worthy of the love of God, or I'm not worthy of the call of God, or I can't do something because of the way I am. No, you are His workmanship. You will always be His workmanship. Till the day you go home to be with the Lord, you will be His workmanship. And the day you go home is the day He says, you're done. And then you get to experience His kindness for eternity in heaven, where you've been properly developed on earth. If you make a mistake, don't worry about it. If you fail, don't worry about it. If you sin, discontinue the sin. Stop sinning, but don't worry about it. In 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous that He may forgive us our sins. And remember, the word forgive also means to forget. And He may cleanse us from all unrighteousness, which of course happens by the blood of the Lamb. Failure or sin or mistake or what have you will not separate you from the love of God. Just come to Him and be honest about it. There are people who try to hide their mistakes from God, or their sins from God, or failures from God. They try to hide it as though He didn't know about it, as though the Holy Spirit was not living inside of them when they failed as much as when they don't fail. He already knows it. But you want to confess it to Him so that you can be agreed, because two can only walk together if they are agreed. God says, oh, that's sin. And you say, God, that was sin. And you say, yep, I agree with you. We're right on the same page. Let's keep moving along. You can forget about your sin. My blood has removed it from time. Nobody can ever point to it again. Not you, not anybody else. And the fact that you were in a situation where you would choose to sin, don't even worry about that, because you're God's workmanship. Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. God doesn't condemn you for your weaknesses or your faults. Sometimes people get tired. Christians can feel like it's difficult to continue, maybe in a difficult test. God doesn't condemn you for that. He says, instead of being condemned, instead of feeling bad about it, He says, come to me and I will build you, in Jeremiah 31:4. I'll give you rest when you're tired. I'll give you comfort when you're hurting. I'll soothe your wounds and I'll make you better. Come to me, he says. He says, if you have a lack, I'm not going to be angry at you for having a lack. Come to me so I can supply what you lack. God is not an angry God. God is a very kind and loving God. Never allow the thought to come into your head that God is somehow angry with you. He can't be angry with you. You're the body of Christ. He's not angry with himself. But he will take care of the body parts that he has. And you're one of them. The Lord, in Psalm 138:8, will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. God perfects that. God brings it to completion. That's what the word perfect means, to bring into completion or maturity. God will bring the completion. God will bring you into maturity. God will complete the building process in your life. Because you have a relationship with Him. And it's a relationship of mercy. Always remember that our relationship with God is a relationship of mercy. That means He'll take care of it. He won't condemn you. He will take care of it. He'll fulfill it. He'll make it happen. He'll continue to build you. He will change you through your relationship with Him. A lot of people, and this is very common even among Christians, realize that there's something in their life that needs to change. And sometimes they scratch their head and say, how am I going to change this? Or I've been trying to change, but I can't. I just can't seem to change. Well, of course you can't change. The leopard is not able to change his spots. Of course you cannot change. Nobody can. But your relationship with God will allow God to change you. Mercy will change you. Love will change you. Kindness will change you. Compassion will change you. When you come to God, that's what you're going to find from Him. And that will change you. What you have to do is you have to come to Him. You come to Him by going into His Word, you come to Him through prayer, you come to Him by meditation on the Word of God, you come to Him every time you come to church and hear the Word of God, you're coming to God. That's what changes us. But we can't change ourselves. Never think to yourself, I have to change here. No, instead, draw near to God, all that much more. If you sense that you have a need for changing something and you draw near to God because then God will change you, you're not able to change yourself. If you could, you would have done it already. But you can't. God can. And God does. Every time we draw near to Him. In 2 Samuel 22:36, David said, your gentleness has made me great. David was the greatest king in history, and he was also the biggest train wreck. If you could make a mistake, David made it. If there was a sin to be committed, it seems like David committed it. He was a mess. And he became the greatest king. Israel was a major world power in David's day. They occupied a huge portion of Asia. And the way that David did it was he received the gentleness of God. It changed him. You reach your maximum potential when you get to know His love and His faithfulness and His mercy and His compassion and His kindness the goodness of God. When you get to know this, that's when you start really developing all that you're able to do and be. All that God has for you. That's where you really start entering to it. You don't enter into it by a lot of effort. You enter into it by drawing very close to Him and receiving every ounce of kindness that He gives you. And He takes care of all the different details of your life when you do that. In John 15:16, this is something we have to remember. We didn't choose Him, He chose us. He drew us, He wanted us, and we responded to that. Those people who are not saved were drawn also, they were called, but they would never respond. We responded. And so He chose us. And He chose us so that we would be fruitful and that our fruit would remain. By fruitful, I mean He chose us so that all the things that God has for us, that He's planned for us, that He wants to develop us into, that He wants to give us, that all of those things are not only received, but then they are also expressed. You're His workmanship because you've been chosen by Him. A few hundred years ago, there were some amazing Italian artists, sculptors and painters. They're still famous today. One of them was Michelangelo. Another one was Leonardo da Vinci. There was a piece of stone available from which you could create a sculpture, and this was very high quality stone. And all of these artists recognized the quality of the stone, and they wanted that stone. Ultimately, Michelangelo got the stone. He chose that stone. And he took his tools to it, and he started hitting it and cutting it and sandpapering it and doing all the things, chiseling it. And he created the most famous statue that exists. It's the statue of King David when he was a young man. There is no statue in the world as famous as that one. He chose the stone, and then it became His workmanship. And because He was skilled, what He did with it was brilliant. Well, God is far more skilled than some artist. He chose you, and so He's working on you. He's creating something. But because He chose you, that means you belong to Him. And if you belong to Him, you're His responsibility. You are being worked on by God. And you're being turned into something magnificent. The way that you deal with that, in the more difficult aspects of it, is you draw near to Him and you receive from Him. And you never become discouraged thinking, well, God still has to work on me, therefore I can't receive love, therefore I don't have anything going on in my life, therefore whatever else you want to fill it with, it doesn't matter because it's false. The proof that you can receive God's love is that you are His workmanship and He is working on you. Amen?
If you don't know that you're going to heaven when you die, if you would like to go to heaven when you die, and know without any question in your mind, based in the Word of God, He gave it to you as a gift. So simply thank Him for that gift. Pray in your heart, Lord Jesus, thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for dying on the cross for me. I accept Your gift. I accept Your mercy. Save my soul and take me to heaven when I die. Amen.